Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And things are starting to pick up now that the holidays are over. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of little announcements this week. Lots of Marvel news, DC news, all the rest of it. But before we get into that, Lance, did you see anything good this week?
I did. The premiere of SSSS Gridman on Cartoon Network. It's a new American premiere. And it's basically, they did an anime relaunch reboot of Gridman, which was an old Sentai, but they made that Sentai show into what we would know in America as Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad in the early 90s, starring Matthew Lawrence. And so when I saw that they were going to come out with a new one, I was like, oh, I'm going to check this out. Like, check out the anime. And the anime is way better than the American show. And it's a mixture of the original Sentai Gridman and the American show. So it's good so far after the first episode. I like it.
I basically have no idea what you said at
It's all good.
I don't know what any of those words mean. But cool. So this is on the Cartoon Network?
It's on Cartoon Network, yeah.
All right. So it just started?
It just started, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Probably not.
It's all good. And for those who are wondering what my Bachelor thoughts are this week, Victoria has to go. That's my thought.
Okay, Victoria has to go. Yeah. Lee from the A24 Project said that he wants weekly updates, so let's make sure to do that.
Yeah, Victoria has to go.
Victoria has to go. All right. Well, I watched what I felt was like the last movie of 2020 that I had to watch before making a top 10 list for the calendar year. And cool. That movie was Promising Young Woman.
I've heard really good things.
It's really, really good.
Awesome.
I highly recommend it. Right now, aside from playing in theaters, it's a $20 rental on, iTunes and whatnot.
Okay.
Probably worth it, to be honest. I got like a virtual screening thing like the night before or whatever, but the whole time I was like, I can't wait to see this again. I need to watch this very soon. So definitely check that out. But since I did see all the movies I felt like I needed to see, I do have my top 10 calendar year list. So I'll run through that. I won't get into each movie, but just to read the list. Number 10, Rebuilding Paradise. Number 9, Miss Americana. Number 8, One Night in Miami. Number 7, Yes God Yes. Number 6, Beastie Boys Story. Number 5, Spontaneous. Number 4, Promising Young Woman. Although I can honestly see that moving up, as time progresses. Number 3, Birds of Prey. Number 2, The Trial of the Chicago 7. And the best movie of the year, in my mind, is Totally Under Control.
Okay.
Which is a documentary about how the U.S. completely botched their response to COVID in every possible way, pretty much. So, yeah. check that out. It's on Hulu. It's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
I only laugh just to keep from crying.
Yes. I think everyone is in the same boat there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get into this. Lots of news. We'll try to bunch things together in the most
logical way.
Yeah. But, there is another thing which came out this week, which I'm guessing you saw. I definitely saw. And that was WandaVision.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think about WandaVision?
I liked it. I liked it. It's creative. It was funny. And what I came away with most was just like, two things. Catherine Hahn is very talented. She's in a lot of stuff. And like, I think you know, I'm impressed with her every time I see her, I think is the thing I would probably say. And yeah. She's somebody that I don't think really gets a whole lot of run, but like she's good. And it was also cool to see Paul Bettany like in the flesh for a change, because like that's something I haven't really seen of him in a while. And so that was nice to see. But I liked it. I enjoyed the first two episodes.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, what you're talking about with Catherine Hahn, I think, is definitely true. I mean, she's one of those people who every time you see her, you're like, why isn't she the star? Why isn't she, you know? She's got that show on HBO called Mrs. Fletcher.
Yeah, that's in my queue. I want to check that out.
I would recommend it. It's really good. Okay. And she does get to be the star of that one, which is
excellent.
Cool. I was really impressed with WandaVision. I thought, you know, obviously they're trying something completely different, you know, with the MCU, and that was refreshing, because lots of times, you know, MCU movies tend to be exactly the same thing, you know,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I like the idea that they're going way in a different direction here, and I mean, we'll see how it all comes together. I like how they seem to be progressing through the years of sitcoms, and I guess we'll see how it all ties together. In some ways, I feel like if they are telling like a long form story, maybe they got caught up in some stuff along the way, which is like not really advancing the plot too much. But at the same time, I don't really care, because I like where they are. You know, I like what they're doing. So, yeah, I think it's really cool, and I'm definitely excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, so, I am too. And again, like I think just the creativity involved in this, I think is very refreshing, and it's refreshing for you know, that studio in particular.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes me excited about what we'll see with the other...
With everything else? Agreed.
Well, there are a few Marvel news stories to come out this week, and the first of which is Deadpool 3. You know, Kevin Feige is doing the rounds, you know, the interview circuit or whatever, to promote WandaVision. So someone asked him about Deadpool 3, Collider did, and he confirmed that it was going to be R-rated, which, I mean, how many times do people need to tell us that it's going to be R-rated before we can say, yes, it'll be R-rated. It'll be R-rated. You know?
I mean, it can't not be. It's Deadpool.
Yeah, right. So there's that. But the other thing, which was kind of surprising to me, is that he confirmed that it will be part of the MCU.
Interesting.
Okay. That, I mean, obviously, Deadpool, if there is a character, if there is a movie where you can do that, that's it. Mm-hmm. Because the whole thing is breaking the fourth wall to begin with, you know? But if you start looking at it, you know, through the lens of, like, what does that mean to the larger whatever, it's kind of crazy because, okay, assuming it takes place in the same continuity as the first two, I mean, those technically are in the X-Men continuity, right? So does that mean all the X-Men movies are now in the MCU?
Don't know. See, this is, you know, because I always kind of assumed that the MCU was going to do its own thing with mutants, because they were off limits for so long because of, you know, rights issues and everything. But I figured at some point they would probably get, you know, their shot at using mutants in a way. And I figured that they would do their own take. This kind of throws a wrench into that, because it's like they're not necessarily doing their own thing, but could they use this to start their own thing? Like, you know, the thing that I hate, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see, because as you just said, part of Deadpool is, you know, breaking the fourth wall and, like, you know, the meta commentary on things. And so I expect lots of things about, like, how, you know, him telling me, like, well, where are all the mutants? He's like, I'm a mutant. How come you don't know what a mutant is? All that other stuff. And so this affords them a chance to be creative, but at the same time, it's a way for them to capitalize on, you know, a marketable mutant from the X-Men, you know, canon and franchise to launch with, because they can't use Wolverine. They can't really necessarily use the X-Men. They can't use Magneto. They can't use, you know, Xavier. So, like, what's the one character they could do something with mutant-wise? And it's him. The other person that they could probably do something mutant-wise in the MCU to start something outside of Deadpool would be Namor, and when they would, if they did something with the Fantastic Four. But that's another group of characters that that I kind of assumed the MCU would get their own chance to do something with, which they are. But we'll see. I'm just not sure.
I'm kind of shocked that they haven't announced any X-Men plans yet, to be honest. I mean,
I am too, because honestly, that's what Phase 4 really should have been, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you finish Endgame, like if I were in charge, right? Like Endgame is over. So that is this period is over. And then the next new wave of things that they can do, instead of just going back to the well again, right? It's mutants, it's the X-Men and Fantastic Four. And then when you end the big finale to that little saga is you bring in they have to bring in the Avengers to do something. But by that point, the Avengers is it's a new looking type of team, a new looking roster. And that fits well with the comics because the Avengers is a rotating roster and it's been that way for years. So it would make sense for it to be a different roster than we've used to seeing already. If I were in charge, I would have done that, but I'm not in charge and they have their own plans.
I have a feeling that if everything was on the table, if they could do whatever they wanted, they probably would have done just that. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing that, you know, these movies, they're in development for so long and everything like that, that they basically had to get the ball rolling on Phase 4 before the deal had been finalized and all that stuff. So just not enough time to pull that together, right? But, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But, I mean, they could go a billion ways. It could be that it's not Deadpool 3. It could be that it's Deadpool 1 in the MCU or whatever. You know, I mean, it could be, who knows. But we shall see. Mm-hmm. So, but it's kind of exciting to see that they are bringing that into that continuity. So, I don't know. All right. So, on the TV front, Ethan Hawke is going to be the villain in the Moon Knight TV show.
Okay.
I mean, everybody loves Ethan Hawke. He's the best. Now, I mean, people are saying, like, for years and years, people would ask Ethan Hawke, like, when are you going to do a superhero movie? And he's like, oh, those are garbage. You know, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, money talks. And
yeah, he saw the commas on that check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. There's a story that he's told about, you know, like back in the mid 90s, he was, you know, super hot and everything. And he was offered the Will Smith role in Independence Day. And he tells this story about how, like, he was on a road trip with his friend and they're driving down the highway and he's reading the script and he gets to, you know, Welcome to Earth.
Yeah.
And he reads it and he's like, this is the biggest piece of garbage. And he just throws the script out the window. And then like a year and a half later, he's sitting in a theater sold out. And Will Smith is like, Welcome to Earth. And the crowd's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I guess I shouldn't have thrown that script out the window.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, hey, I'm sure that he's going to be great. And, you know, it's exciting to see that. I mean, it's kind of cool. It makes sense. Like you see this with, well, even like Transformers movies where, you know, yes, it's a TV show based on a comic book and Ethan Hawke is a serious actor or whatever.
You could be a serious actor and do this stuff.
Yeah, you can be a serious actor and do this stuff. And if you're Disney and you're paying for top tier talent, you know, behind the scenes, you're going to do that, you know, in front of the camera too. So why not Ethan Hawke?
Why not? And hopefully this is, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully one day we can get to a point where there's not this stigma attached to things and where people look down on these things. It's like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, something that. which has always stood out to me. I've always been, I don't know. I think it's colored my view of like movies in general for what, like 19 years now is, an interview with Guillermo del Toro because he had two movies come out in 2002. He had Blade 2 and The Devil's Backbone, which was, you know, his little indie Spanish language horror movie, right? And someone asked him, like, well, how do you feel about these movies? You know, what do you think? And he's like, well, they both turned out how I wanted them to. I'm equally happy with both of them, you know? And I thought that was so cool. Like this guy who's now, you know, like an Oscar winning filmmaker, like back then he could do his little indie movie and his big budget comic book movie and say like, these are both what I want them to be. These are, you know, I can do both. And
yeah.
And they're both equally valid.
That is correct.
Yeah. And Blade 2 is his best movie, so.
Blade 2 is great. I love Blade 2.
So good. So good. It's a masterpiece.
Yep. We don't talk about Blade 3, though. We do not talk about Blade Trinity.
I'm okay with Blade Trinity. I don't have a problem with it. In some ways, I think it's better than the first one. I don't know. I know that's controversial, but Blade 2 is way better than both of them. I mean, that's the...
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. One more bit of news, which... would have normally been like the big story, but now maybe not.
Yeah.
Deadline reported that Chris Evans is returning to the role of Captain America for a future MCU project.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows what this is, or they might not even know what this is. You know, he said it probably wouldn't be a Captain America movie. It would probably be something along the lines of Tony Stark showing up in Civil War, like that sort of thing.
Okay.
But, you know, Deadline, they're a legit news source and everything like that. You know, they're not going to run a story unless there's, you know, a reason to. But a few hours later, Chris Evans tweeted news to me.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? I mean, you know, a lot of people are, I mean, Deadline, they haven't pulled their story or anything like that. You know, like a lot of people have pointed out, Disney has a reputation for having their stars go out there, deny this stuff, and then, you know, a month later, guess what? You know, official Disney announcement, Chris Evans is returning, you know?
Hmm.
I mean, that just happened with Tatiana Maslany with She-Hulk.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
So just because he's saying news to me, that doesn't mean that it's not true, but it certainly throws some doubt on the subject.
Yeah, and when I saw that, like, the first thing, like, I thought is, you know, after I saw him, you know, tweet, you know, news to me, I was like, well, he was, you know, he seemed legit done, right? Like, his kind of like, you know, Downey Jr., how, like, you know, they had their run, their arcs came to a close, and he was done. And then I was thinking, I was like, well, how could they have him come back? Well, like, you know, he did go time hopping, right?
Yeah.
To return all the stones. So they could do something with that, maybe, or maybe they could do, you know, they could do more World War II stuff, or the other option is like, it's just, you know, cameos. It's just like, you know, very small, you know, one scene appearance in something, right? Like he's like in the background, or he's old Steve, or he's, you know, around, but not necessarily around. It's just not a big role. Like, he could come back. It's just like, you know, he's on set for like a day to do a 2-minute thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are ways to bring him back. I'm just not exactly sure what it is and what capacity.
Yeah, I mean, like in that last scene in Endgame, he lived a life longer than anything that we've seen him, you know, portrayed on screen. So there are certainly a billion opportunities for it. You know, I mean, you could literally do anything with it. But what they choose to do with it is another question. Or if they choose to do it. So... kind of doesn't make sense. Like you're saying, like he said goodbye, but also, you know, we said goodbye, right?
Exactly.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily a good idea, but we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So going across the street, that's what they would say, right? Because they were like across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To DC. We've got some news there too. First up, the Gotham City Police Department show, that's a spinoff, maybe prequel to the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's found its new showrunner, Joe Barton, who I wasn't familiar with up until now. I guess he was the showrunner on some sci-fi show called Humans. I don't know. Have you seen that?
No, I've not.
No. I mean, he's done a few other things here and there. He's best known for creating Tokyo and London set crime drama Giri Haji for Netflix and the BBC. I don't know. Have you seen that?
Nope.
No. He did write a movie, which I watched last night, called My Days of Mercy, which, I'm going to be honest, that is the absolute worst title you could possibly have for this movie. That is, it's so bad, the title. But the movie itself is actually pretty good. It's about like a woman whose dad is on death row for killing her mom. So like her and her family basically go, you know, across the country to like protest capital punishment, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
And there's another woman who is on like the other side of the debate, you know, like she had someone who was close to her or whatever, who died, or I'm sorry, who was murdered, and, you know, the murderer was executed and she was like fully in support of that, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And these two women like meet at one of these protests, and basically they fall in love. And then have this kind of like relationship where they, you know, live in across country from each other, but then, you know, meet up whenever they have a protest sort of thing. Okay. You know, it's pretty good. It's I wouldn't like watch it and be like, this guy, he should totally write a Batman show, you know, but the quality is there, you know, the writing is good. So I can definitely see, you know, them saying like, well, this guy's a good talent, you know, this guy's a good writer. Let's get him to do some Batman. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. My Days of Mercy. Check it out, I guess. Okay, so moving on to the movie side of things, I guess. Movie, I don't know. Justice League Director's Cut, is that a movie? I guess so.
Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah. Harry Lennox revealed that he is, in fact, the Martian Manhunter in the Justice League Director's Cut. And apparently he was playing the Martian Manhunter when we saw him in Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman.
I call shenanigans on that. He was playing the military guy. He was not playing the Martian Manhunter because he had no idea who it was. Like, he even said so in his little thing. He was like, I have no idea who the Martian Manhunter is. He's like, but I'm, you know, hey, guess what? I'm going to be Martian Manhunter in the Justice League movie. And, you know, Snyder stands will scream to the blue in the face that, like, you know, this was, you know, Zach's plan all along and all this other nonsense. But there's no evidence that he was the Martian Manhunter in the first two films that he was in. Because, like, there's no red eyes. He's not, you know, eating cookies. There's no knowledge of alien stuff. He's just as surprised at seeing an alien when Superman shows up as everybody else is. He doesn't even go to help Superman when he's fighting Zod. He does not help with Doomsday. He's just, you know, doing other military stuff. He's like, no, at that point, you need to use your superpowers with the other superheroes and go help. But instead, he was just kind of doing his, you know, usual military stuff. So if he was truly the Martian Manhunter, then he would have done that. But yeah, there's no evidence to present that he was playing him the whole time. And this is the genius of Zack Snyder at work. I call shenanigans.
That's fair. That's fair. Now, in Supergirl, John Jones or whatever.
Yeah.
He is also kind of like a military guy, right?
He runs the DEO.
Yeah.
Department of Extraterrestrial Operations.
Something like that.
Something like that.
But like in the comics, wasn't he like a private detective or something like that?
Yeah, he's a detective, yeah.
Okay. So it's not like this is like later in the comics, he's like a military guy or anything.
Correct,
like
yeah.
That. Okay. I mean, hey, you know, we'll see what they do with it, but it'll be interesting to see if it does line up. I don't know. I have to go back and watch Man of Steel. I guess I have to watch those movies pretty soon before the new one's coming out in March, right? Mm-hmm. Theoretically.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, I mean, why not? At this point,
it's like, not? No, I mean, like, it's cool that we're going to have Martian Manhunter on, in a movie, but like to say that he was him the whole time, I think is ridiculous. Like, it's okay that he wasn't. It's okay. Yeah. If you're just being like, well, let's have him be, you know, Martian Manhunter. And it was an easy thing for people to like kind of guess that he would be it because, you know, he was the only other black guy of note in this movie. And he's kind of been like a black guy in portrayal in lots of different things throughout, you know, his existence. It's been, I think it's probably 3-2. He's been a black person more than a white person, John Jones says. So, I mean, there's more evidence that, you know, his lieutenant, you know, Carol, you know, Ferris is, you know, Carol Ferris, you know, like Green Lantern's wife. There's more evidence of that than him being John Jones. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely true. Yeah. You know, I couldn't believe this. Like when I was watching Supergirl and then they did like the whole cyborg thing.
Yeah.
Like that's like the first story that I ever like read in comics.
Oh, really?
And I did not put together the idea that, I mean, they named, it's not like they were hiding it. They named him, right? Hank Henshaw, right?
Yes.
That's his name. Like that's the, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the, and I didn't connect the dots. I was ashamed of myself for that.
It's all good.
Whatever. It's still a pretty cool storyline. Okay, so Harry Lennix back.
Yes.
As Martian Manhunter. You know who's not coming back mm-hmm. To the DCEU is Ray Fisher.
Yep.
He released a statement. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going back and forth, but
yes.
You know, what it boils down to is he basically said that he was going to have a not just a cameo but a large role as Cyborg in the new Flash movie,
mm-hmm.
but he cannot work with Walter Hamada, the executive who runs DC's movies,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, he is not going to be in Flash. And DC has said that they are moving on and basically rewriting the movie in order to eliminate Cyborg from the script.
Yeah.
So obviously this has been a pretty big story, which has been, you know, going back and forth for like 6 or 7 months now.
Yes.
And yeah, basically everybody is saying that everyone else is not telling the truth.
Yeah. And so here's the thing with Fisher. If he says that, like, he was, you know, he was mistreated on set, and you know there were moments of and actions of racism towards him and stuff like that, you know, I'm inclined to believe him, because again, like, this, you know, I understand the world that we live in. I also understand the business that he's in, because you know Hollywood is, you know, was racist as hell a lot of the time. I mean, let's keep it a buck.
Yeah.
But he has come forward with no evidence to present any of that. A lot of the statements that he makes is just a lot of him talking without necessarily saying anything. And it's a lot of fluff, and it's a lot of buzzwords, and it's a lot of things to get people riled up and be like, yeah, like, you know, you tell him, Ray. And he's doing a lot of that without mm-hmm. saying what exactly happened. And I understand that there could be some, you know, he might have been instructed by lawyers to not say certain things. But at this point, like, you know, it's 2021. Just say what they did. Like, you know, yeah. and if like, that would give you more credibility, because, you know, the more he continues to talk and say nothing, the more he continues to look like, you know, I don't want to say making stuff up, but like, but it's enough for people to be like, well, I call shenanigans on this. I mean, yeah. Especially considering that an investigation was had and was done, and, you know, there was a conclusion that nothing was really done, you know, that was off board, or as off board as he was making it seem. And yeah. Yet he's continuing to go back and forth and go at, you know, the current powers that be at WB and all this other stuff. And, you know, I don't know all the facts. He hasn't given us anything. And of course, like, you know, the people he's accusing aren't going to say anything, but if he's not going to say anything either, then who are we really to believe?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is a case where we literally know nothing. I mean, logically, there's no reason for him to lie. At least it doesn't seem like. I mean,
yeah,
he's literally losing work because of this, right?
That's correct. But at the same time, he's keeping himself in the spotlight uh-huh. by continuing to say nothing every now and then. And he also says, like, you know, some of the things that times that he says stuff, he says it just like, bro, like, read the room. Like, his last uh-huh. statement came on the day of the, you know, of the. Or one of the statements came on the day of the attempted insurrection. It's just mm-hmm. like, what are you doing, man? Like, read the room.
Yeah. And he did release like an audio clip. I don't know if you heard that. Mm-hmm. He just did that like a day or two ago, which was apparently a recording of his last call with like the independent investigators
mm-hmm.
where he basically is saying like, I'm sorry if I come across as difficult or whatever. And the investigator is like, no, not at all. You know, you've been great. You've always, you know, been cooperative and everything. And, you know, the facts speak for themselves. And it's clear that, you know, you're telling us the truth and all this stuff. You know,
cool. I'd love to know what that truth is.
Because well, they don't say that.
And that's the thing. Like, like I'm inclined to believe him, but at the same time, because I know, I know like the bigger picture of things. I was like, he's likely not telling a lie about any of this stuff. But at the same time, the more no information comes out, and the more vague he gets, and the more preachy he gets about it, like the more it's just like, well, it makes it more difficult.
Yeah, it's a very weird situation. You know, I maybe it's just because we're used to knowing everything that happens behind the scenes with these things. And here, you know, you've got someone who's trying to make it very public and yet not sharing any details.
Yeah. And so, that's what makes one be skeptical.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, regardless of what happened, Ray Fisher, probably not going to be in any more DC movies anytime soon.
No, I mean, and again, like, you know, that also makes sense considering that, like, they're trying to, you know, post it as soon as the director's cut of Justice League is available and people are watching it. They're going to try to distance themselves from that as much as possible because it's just been this, you know, cyclone of drama, you know, since, you know, the production of it began and, you know, its initial failing and then the whole hashtag and then bringing it back and all this stuff. It's just been this constant thing. And they're just like, all right, we need a fresh start, which is what I think they're trying to do. And so, you know, like it makes sense that they're moving on and he's not going to be part of it because again, he's definitely very associated with it. And he is, you know, he's made his allegiances known that he is with that camp. And that's a camp that they no longer want to be associated with. And speaking of like, they want to like, you know, not like kind of distance themselves from it, but the fact that they want to get this Flash movie off the ground, they still have, you know, one of the key components of that universe in Ezra Miller, but there's nothing with him. And I'm surprised that he still has a job. Well, actually I'm not surprised he still has a job. I mean, he choked a fan, but you know, he's still allowed to do whatever. And people are just like, oh, you need to know the context. I was like, okay, cool. Noted. But yet like, you know, Ray Fisher is the one who has to like fight for his job. Mm-hmm. Okay. Noted.
Yeah. Oh boy. So that's pretty much it for DC and Marvel news.
Yeah.
Lots of crazy stuff.
That's it for DC. That's one way of putting it.
Yep. All right. So because of the ongoing pandemic, obviously there's a lot of release dates which are getting shuffled and a number of things have sort of solidified apparently over the past week. So there's a lot of release date changes here. So let's just run through them.
Okay.
Saint Maud, which is a movie which has been delayed forever and which they were wanting to release in theaters. They are now going to release in theaters on January 29th, and then it'll be streaming on Epics on February 12th.
Cool.
A lot of positive buzz about this movie. But anyone who signs up for Epics on February 12th to watch Saint Maud, check out the good old Pennyworth. You haven't seen this show at all?
I've not.
Oh my God. You have to see it. You have to see it.
I can't. I cannot. I can't like, you know, enable people to keep creating Batman stuff or superhero stuff not about the superhero. Like, I don't want it as a lifelong Batman fan. I do not want to watch a show about Alfred.
Okay, right? Like, I feel you on that one, right? But you start watching it, and I can't get into all of it on air because it's too, but I'll tell you off air some of the stuff which happens on it. But but it starts off and you're like, Alfred. Okay, yeah, I can deal with an Alfred show. You know, he's like hanging out in England doing his thing. Oh yeah, there's some cool spy stuff. Oh, that's cool. And then it takes a turn and it's like televised executions. Okay, what? That's okay. They're getting a little weird. Guys getting their noses chopped off. That's fine.
Wow.
Alfred like literally blowing someone's head off with a shotgun and then like a extended shot of this like dead body with nothing but a jaw above its neck.
Oh,
okay, fine.
God.
Let's do that. And then you get it. I mean, there's some stuff. There's some weird. And then you get into the end, and I don't want to spoil it, but the way the season ends is you're just like, okay, so we're doing this now.
Oh,
all
man.
Right. You know, but then, you know, you also got, you know, Thomas Wayne and Martha Kane and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, it is absolutely insane. I'm not going to say that it's good.
Okay.
But you got to see it just because you would never believe that this show exists. Like the idea that they were like, let's do an Alfred show. And then they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this is the show that they did. Oh, my God. It's insane. You have to watch it.
I just can't. I can't.
All right. All right. Well, if you sign up for Epics, go for it. Go for it. Watch The Saint Maud and the Pennyworth. And yeah. Okay. Also on January 29th, Nomadland is getting released. It's getting released a couple weeks earlier than originally anticipated.
Okay.
In IMAX.
Really?
Yeah. You get to see the inside of those trailers in the magnificent scope of IMAX and the
Excellent.
Amazon facilities and whatnot. No, I mean, cool. Good for them. I mean, this is the front runner for Best Picture,
yeah.
And, you know, and it's going to be like probably just a 1 week engagement. And then on February 19th, it'll be released both in theaters and on Hulu simultaneously.
Okay.
February 12th. This is an older movie, but it's never been seen in the U.S. aside from at Sundance. Dead Pigs, which is the directorial debut of Kathy Yan, the director of
Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. Her little indie movie with Zazie Beetz is coming out on Mubi on February 12th. So super excited about that one.
Okay.
And one which I know you're super excited about on February 26th on Hulu, United States versus Billie Holiday.
Absolutely.
Which was going to be in theaters, and they just kind of pulled it at the last minute, but they're still releasing it in time for Oscar consideration, and they released a trailer too. Did you watch the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're excited about this one?
Yeah. Well, because mostly because, you know, biopics are, you know, a staple in Hollywood. It's part of, you know, their playbook of things, right? You know, and it's just like, well, where's her biopic? Where's, you know, Madam C.J. Walker's biopic? Where's Louis? Where's Carver? There's all sorts of names of people that we could do, and we just haven't really gotten them yet. And especially, you know, after the events of last year and the, you know, the promises that were made about, like, you know, doing some of these things, I was like, well, it's good. They're like, well, here's a start. And you know, and then hopefully we can get to a point where, you know, the stories that we tell are not these like tragic biopics, but like, this is, you know, it's a step in the right direction. Like Billie Holiday is a great, you know, obviously a great musician, classic, but like we get to see a different, you know, a different story and a different struggle with her in this. And I think it looks great. I think so far from what I've seen, I was like, this is good. It has potential, you know, for especially for award season as well. So I'm all about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely watch it. I think it does look pretty good. I have to say I'm not the biggest Lee Daniels fan in the world, but, you know, I'll definitely give it a shot.
Yeah.
March 5th, also on Hulu. Hulu's got everything. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Hulu has live sports.
They do, yes. And their app is much better than the YouTube app, I have to say, in terms of navigating stuff. But Boss Level on March 5th on Hulu. This is the new Joe Carnahan movie with Mel Gibson. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but, like why is that a thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I there are just a few pictures in that. I think it's some sort of weird like time loop thing, so that could be interesting.
Okay.
And then this is the big one here. Godzilla versus Kong. They've worked out whatever deal they need to work out or whatever, and that date is actually moving up from May 21st to March 26th.
I'm here for it.
It'll be in theaters and on HBO Max. I just keep on thinking about it. It's like watching Godzilla versus Kong on a TV screen. I don't understand why. But whatever. You know, moving up their release date, so that's cool. I mean, it makes sense because there's nothing else coming out that day. Mm-hmm. In May, you know, theoretically Fast and Furious, you know, who knows? So yeah. So we'll see. But yeah. Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos prequel, mm-hmm. which was supposed to come out March 12th, has been pushed back to September 24th in theaters and HBO Max because they want it to play the festival circuit and they want it to be considered for awards season next year. That's disappointing. I was looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that'll make this, you know, make that like good in my eyes, honestly, is if it starts, the first scene has to be them eating pizza. Has to be.
Okay. I don't get it. Why?
Have you not seen The Sopranos?
Yeah, I've seen The Sopranos.
Yeah, they have to talk about the ending.
Okay. So wait. I'm not putting the pieces together.
It's like poetry, it rhymes.
Okay. All right.
I'm making a joke about it.
Okay.
About the ending and how the beginning. Because people like, you know, that's a controversial ending of them like all just kind of sitting and having this family dinner. Definitely. But I think it works. The mob is about family after all. So
sure.
So I was just, you know, joking, saying like, well, this Sopranos prequel should should start with something like that.
Well, I'm sorry I ruined your joke.
It's all good.
It happens. Well, you know. All right. Another big one. Morbius was supposed to come out March 19th, and that's moving to October 8th.
Cool.
Kind of sad, but
yeah, I'm not excited about Morbius. I'm very surprised at how much that has how much of a fan base that like Morbius has, like and how many people are like excited about Morbius. Like people have been talking about Morbius for a long time. I was like, really, this guy? That's kind of always been my thought on the character. I was just like, Spider-Man has so many other cool like villains you could do stuff to spin off with, but Morbius?
Okay, but how about that moment in the trailer where you see Michael Keaton? Like, what's the implication there? Is he playing the Vulture? Is this part of the MCU?
He's probably playing Batman. It's all part of the Flash movie.
Do you remember when Birdman came out and it was like, wow, look at this commentary, this self-reflective commentary on Michael Keaton's career where, you know, he was Batman.
Birdman was fantastic.
I love Birdman. I love it. I love it. But I thought that was like the end, you know, like Michael Keaton has, you know, he's like, I'm done playing these superhero things. I'm doing serious stuff now, like Birdman. Like, that was the transition point. And then, like, a year later, they're like, Michael Keaton will play Vulture. And it's like, he's literally a Birdman, you know?
And he's trying to tell us.
And now he's Batman again. Whatever. All of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with Keaton, he's a weird guy, but I think that's what makes him so lovable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great. I'm just curious what this means. Is Morbius part of the MCU? I don't know.
Who knows?
I'll
be excited if Blade makes a cameo.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could bring in Mahershala Ali. And
do it.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
I know.
And finally, No Time to Die has been pushed back from April 2nd to the fall. It looks like probably November, but nobody knows for sure.
Okay.
So that's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yep. Oh, well. Not many movies in theaters in March, but hey, plenty of movies on Netflix.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They dropped their trailer saying like a new movie every week for mm-hmm. all of 2021. And there was like so much stuff in there that your head is just like spinning. Mm-hmm. But like, were there any that were like a standout to you?
Yeah. Tick, Tick, Boom. Mm. I'm on board with anything that Lin-Manuel Miranda does at this point. Like his clout is, you know, is very, very high in my book. And I think that'll be interesting. And also whatever the project that Halle Berry's doing, because this is this will be her directorial debut. That'll be interesting to see that.
Yeah, I think it's called Bruised.
Okay.
I think she's like a boxer.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we got to see her fight for the first time in the third John Wick. So maybe she got a taste of some action stuff.
Fight for the first time. Are you forgetting Catwoman?
I'm not forgetting Catwoman.
Okay. I'm just saying. yeah, you know, someone posted a list of like all 70 Netflix movies that are coming out next year, and I mean, of course, we got Army of the Dead, the Zack mm-hmm. Snyder thing. That shot, there's a couple shots in that trailer with like Leonardo DiCaprio and
oh yeah, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, that's for a movie called Don't Look Up, which is the new Adam McKay movie.
Okay.
And then that there was like some movie with like Chris Hemsworth on a boat or something like that. Mm-hmm. That was Escape from Spiderhead, which is the new movie by Joseph Kosinski, the guy who did Tron Legacy.
Okay.
And he's got his Top Gun movie coming out next
yeah.
year.
Yeah. I'm still super hype about that.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Yeah. I can't wait. And then another one which was in the trailer was The Woman in the Window, which is confirmation that that movie is actually coming to Netflix. It was supposed okay. to be in theaters.
That's the it's Amy got, Adams movie.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really want to see that. That's cool.
Hey, it looks really cool.
looks weird.
However, there's been a little behind the scenes drama.
Of course there is.
They made it. And then they test screened it, and audiences were like, this is terrible. And then they went back and reshot a whole bunch of it. They threw out the Nine Inch Nails score and replaced them with Danny Elfman.
What?
yes. So,
like Nine Inch Nails shouldn't have been doing the score for a movie called The Woman in the Window.
Why not?
Lil Jon should have been.
Okay.
The soundtrack to this movie should just be Get Low. To okay. the window, to the wall.
Missed opportunities.
Yes, exactly.
well,
see, Joe Wright needs to call me.
Yes, yes. I mean, who knows? Maybe now that it's on Netflix, they'll just be like, screw it, let's release the original version. But I kind of feel like that's not going to happen. I think whatever comes out is going to be some weird, butchered thing. And I mean, who knows? It could be great. But the word on the street is this one's going to be kind of a dud. Oh, so,
well, we know what to do when it comes out if people don't like it.
What's that?
Get a hashtag trending to release the actual, else's cut.
Release the right cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one other movie, which I don't know if there was any footage of it in there, but it is coming out, is The Guilty, which is the new movie by Antoine Fuqua.
Okay.
I honestly have no idea what this movie is about, but Antoine Fuqua, whatever he does, I'm there for. I saw Replacement Killers on opening day.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I've seen, yes, it is. And hashtag release the Fuqua cut of that, you know? but yeah, I've seen every Fuqua movie like opening weekend since. There's no way. And he's got another one, which is supposed to be in theaters at some point. Who knows what they're doing with that? The one with Mark Wahlberg. So we will probably get two Antoine Fuqua movies this year, which is
okay.
Cool. All right. Well, there's a number of movies which are in development now that were just officially announced. The first one, Darren Aronofsky is directing a movie for A24 called The Whale, starring Brendan Fraser, which is apparently about a guy. Brendan Fraser plays a guy who weighs 600 pounds and has one last shot at redemption or something. I don't know. It's based on a play, I guess. Aronofsky, he makes weird movies.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you hear like a lot of his plots or whatever, and you're like, I don't. And then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, that's amazing. Like The Wrestler, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he has many more hits than misses. You know, I'm not a huge fan of like The Fountain, and even though I know people love that, but I mean, you look at like Requiem for a Dream, The Wrestler, Black Swan, Pi. I mean, all these things. Even Mother, even though that movie is insane, it's still still worth a look. So of course, you know, worth a shot, but we shall see.
Okay.
Aaron Sorkin has a new movie, which is being developed right now, called Being the Ricardos, in which Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem will play Lucy and Desi Arnaz. So that could be That could be pretty cool. I don't know. I know a lot of people are like, Aaron Sorkin, you know, screw him. I don't understand that. I mean, I put Trial of the Chicago 7 at number 2 on my list. I love everything that guy does. You know, West Wing was great.
Yeah.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip was great. Moneyball, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So anything he wants to do, I'm here for. But the idea of like a Lucy and Desi movie,
yeah,
I don't know. I think that could be pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. I'm here for that.
And one last movie, Ridley Scott is making his Napoleon movie with Joaquin Phoenix. It's called Kitbag. Apparently, this is something they've been wanting to do for years and years and years, and they've got Apple to come on board to finance it and produce it and all that stuff. I mean, obviously, the two of them worked together on Gladiator. Everybody loved Gladiator, won Best Picture and all that stuff.
It's one of my favorites. So,
hey, why not? You know, Ridley Scott? He can do anything as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And The Last of Us TV show, which HBO is working on, they found a director.
Okay.
It is the director of Beanpole, Kantemir Balagov. Now, have you played Last of Us?
A little bit of the first one.
Okay. What do you think about it?
It was fun. It's and you know, when I heard that they were going to, you know, a TV show was, you know, in the works and in development, I was like, well, perfect. This is, if there was any video game that you could put on, you know, HBO to have a TV show, it's this.
Yeah. I've heard really good things. I mean, people are saying like the second one is like the best.
Yeah, people were not really high on the second one.
No? Oh, okay. I heard some really good things.
I've heard mixed things about the second one.
Okay.
But the people that I guess quote unquote trust that review stuff and that played it, they really liked it. So I'm gonna trust that one.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like an interesting concept. I haven't played the game. I'm not really familiar with it or anything like that, but it sounds like it could make a good TV show, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Let's see if they can break that video game curse.
Yeah.
You know what the best reviewed video game movie of all time is?
Resident Evil?
No. That was up there, even though it was pretty well disliked.
Yeah.
But no, it is Detective Pikachu.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, Detective Pikachu was really good.
I haven't seen it yet. I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. And yeah. I remember when I saw it, I was like, the first thing that I saw, when I saw like the pictures of Pikachu and in the Pokemon in that universe, I was like, so the people that were doing Sonic, why did they screw up so badly the first time?
Yeah. And that when people liked the end result of Sonic, though,
yeah,
too, right?
Because, well, that's what they should have done in the first place instead of coming out with that, like, you know, fantastic Mr. Fox looking Sonic that they had at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, like, while I think that the new Sonic definitely looks superior to the old Sonic, I do feel like there's something wrong about like filmmakers saying like, this is what I want to do, releasing a trailer, there being massive fan backlash, and then the studio saying like, change it, everybody hates it, change it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, let the filmmakers fail on their own terms, you know?
I mean, we can't let people fail at this point, because like if we try to let them fail, there's going to be a hashtag to you know, coming up saying that, like, you know, what they did was brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword.
It's true.
But in the case of Sonic, that was their own fault, because they knew that looked garbage. Like, yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. That movie Locked Down came out on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you watch that? Or
I did not.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
But it starts off and there's this kind of like running plot thread about how there's like a hedgehog in their garden.
Awesome.
And like the first thing you see is like a hedgehog like walking around outside and everything. And when the credits roll, the hedgehog gets top billing and the name of the hedgehog
is Sonic. Of course. Of course.
Well, speaking of video games, Star Wars video games are on the way. They're doing an Indiana Jones game, which is cool, but then they also announced that Ubisoft is doing an open world Star Wars game.
Welcome to the party, y'all. Like, it's about time.
It is kind of surprising that this hasn't happened yet, right?
Yeah. It's like, come on, guys.
I haven't like played any real open world games, I don't think. It sounds like a cool, I mean, just the idea that you can like live in this world, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That seems perfect for Star Wars.
Yeah, it's like exactly. It's just like, what is taking y'all so long?
Yeah. So this, I imagine, probably won't be out for like years and years and years.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But when it does come out, that should be cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Tons and tons of stuff about to come out. Nothing coming out right
now.
But tons of stuff in the not too distant future. All right. Well, Lance, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can also find me on the United Federation of Podcasts, talking about all the things that make Arrow Arrow on my podcast, Always Hold On to Arrow.
And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. And you can also find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage, where we talk about film projection, Star Trek, and time travel. Probably going to get into some time travel stuff in the not-too-distant future, because Star Trek's over with for the time being. And you can also find me on Talk Film Society, doing a show called Trek Film Society, where we look at Star Trek movies from a slightly different perspective. That's just a limited series. We're about halfway through it now. But check that out over on talkfilmsociety.com. Okay, well, that's it for this week. News is picking up. I'm sure that there's going to be tons and tons of news next week, release date changes and all that stuff. We're in full swing right now, not to mention that Oscar season is right around the corner.
It's coming up.
Yep. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.